You're listening to Women Heard, brought to you by New York Women in Communications. Today's episode is all about mentoring, and I am so thrilled to have this incredible panel of women here to talk to me about mentoring and the New York Wiki mentorship program. Before we dive into this conversation with our incredible panel of women, I would love for each of you to introduce yourself and share your role in the upcoming New York Wiki mentorship program. Georgia, do you want to start?
Sure. Thanks, Julie. I'm so excited to be having this conversation with you today. So my name is Georgia Galanoudis, and I have the distinct honor and pleasure to be currently serving as New York Women in Communications President, which is wonderful, which means that I have a little bit of purview over this program. I have also participated in it in years past. I would just like to add that I am also the Director of Marketing and Communications at idealists.org, which is a nonprofit focused on providing individuals the support, tools, access to career, and non-professional opportunities. So I think about mentorship both with my New York Wiki hat on, and I think of it too in my day job for idealist.org as we help path the careers of young people trying to have social impact, positive social impact in the world.
Awesome. Thank you. And Georgia is also the host of our new Changemakers podcast series through Women Heard, which is launching in days, weeks from when this podcast will go live as well. So I'm very excited for our audience to hear your interviews with those exciting guests on that new series. And Linda, I'll throw it over to you.
Thank you, Julie. Delighted to be here. I'm Linda Toscano. My day job is as Executive Vice President for Red Havas, which is a global merged media agency within the Havas network. I am co-treasurer of New York Women in Communications. I've been active in the organization for more than 10 years. I've had the privilege of serving as a mentor in the past and thrilled that we are relaunching the mentorship program and to serve as a mentor again. I'm a firm believer in mentoring and feel that no matter where we are in our career, there's always room to be mentored. So it's just a continuous part of my career journey.
Fabulous. Thank you for joining us today. Melissa?
Great. Hi, I'm Melissa Weistuck, and I co-chair the mentoring program with Bonnie Blake, who could not join us today. I've been involved with New York Wiki, I want to say it's about 15 years, holding various roles over the years, including VP of membership. I truly love the organization, and I'm so glad to see the revitalization of what I think is a really important program in mentoring. By day, I'm a healthcare marketer. I've been doing that for quite a while, and I work at the New York Proton Center in Upper Manhattan. And we provide a very unique form of radiation therapy that's extremely powerful and not as well known as traditional radiation. And that's why I'm there.
Awesome. Thank you all so much for joining us. And I know a lot of what we'll talk about today is what mentoring is and why it's important and how to be a good mentor and mentee. But before we dive into all that, I do want to talk about the program. I have participated in the New York Wiki mentorship program and I was a mentor. I'm still very close with my mentee. This is very dear to my heart because we developed such a special relationship and she has gone on to do many amazing things. So I'm just so, so excited about this program relaunching and I want to talk a little bit more about the details and logistics. So Georgia, I'm going to ask you first to tell us a little bit about the program and how it works and really why we decided to bring it back now, why New York Wiki decided to bring it back at this moment.
Yeah. The world around us has shifted. It's not the same. Hybrid and remote working, it's changed the way we communicate professionally, how business gets done, and the ways in which we advocate for ourselves or demonstrate our worth in the workplace. navigating into a career, you know, starting out, or if you're looking for a career pivot, it's just not the same as it was even a few years ago. But the one thing I'd say, and you reflected on that, Julie, just now, the one constant throughout, it's that relationship, it's building that relationship, it's about trust, and that's predicated on the need for candid, transparent, and the open sharing of insights between women. And we need that between women of various stages in their career, between generations, right? We have four generations in the workplace right now, or five in some cases. And we need it even more today between peers. This is one of the things that has become incredibly evident recently, because of how rapid the change. Young women today that are looking for mentors are not just looking for women that are experienced and seasoned. They're looking for women who are just one small step ahead of where they are, because so many things are different. They need that advice in navigating. So we wanted to make sure that in this program, we were reflecting the types of conversations that we as members of this New York Women in Communications community are having with each other every day. And the mentorship program is really just the formalization of those conversations that are happening almost ad hoc and ongoing almost every day. So this year, we wanted to take just a little bit of a short pause, give ourselves a chance to take a breath, to reevaluate, given this new world we live in, make some tweaks, make adjustments when necessary, and relaunch in the fall with the best program that we can offer our community. So fundamentally, it works pretty much in the same way, but we're making sure that we're being incredibly flexible in terms of how it runs. And as I said earlier, opening up for more what I would call, I'll call it peer-to-peer, but it may be with someone that's just that short step ahead of you. We want to make sure that those opportunities are available to folks as well.
That's great. I know it's really such a crazy shift, right? I feel like maybe we were leaning away from formal mentorship programs because we were all in person and talking and just communicating so much. And now I think there's many people who never really meet another person in person at the workplace. So I'm very excited about this timing. I think it's going to be really beneficial. I know we have a lot of younger listeners to this podcast, but also I think anyone at any stage in their career, it would be so, so vital for. Melissa, can you tell us a little bit more about the logistics, how it's going to work? How do you apply?
Sure. So this program will kick off around National Mentoring Day. Yes, there is such a thing, and I'm thrilled that there is. And that's October 27th. And typically, women can apply to be a mentor or mentee through the New York Wiki website. And then our committee and the New York Wiki staff will make the pairings and announce those on International Mentoring Day, which is January 17th. So for more information will be available on our website, nywiki.org. I encourage you to visit.
Great. Thank you so much. So I really encourage everyone who's listening to apply for this program as a mentor, as a mentee. And I want to spend the time today talking more just about mentorship. I think what I learned when I went through this program formally was there was that I had a lot to learn about how to be a mentor and what really makes you a valuable mentor and mentee. So I thought with this amazing group of people here, we could talk about what we all think should go into that. Linda, I'd love to start with you just to talk a little bit more about what mentorship really is and why it is so important.
Well, for me, mentorship is really about helping someone live their purpose, right? Find their purpose, support their personal development. And I I'm not saying career development because today, right, our personal and professional lives are really blurred and integrated. And it's about how do we integrate all of the things that are important to us? How do we maintain our well-being, our physical well-being, our mental, emotional well-being? We fit in our family, our friends, our faith, you know, our career. And so to me, mentorship is someone who could really guide, inspire, motivate you, help look beyond the here and now, maybe even, you know, help you push through those self-imposed doubts or sometimes the boundaries that other people impose on you and really see like your potential and help you find that way forward, you know, and stay on your true north.
I love that. I love thinking about mentorship in that way. Melissa, how about for you? What does mentorship mean? What has it meant?
Right. I mean, first I want to preface this with, I wish there was a mentorship program when I was starting out in my career, but people didn't do that in the 1980s. It just, to my knowledge, wasn't done, especially if you worked for a smaller organization. Those opportunities just weren't there. And there are a few pivotal points in my own career earlier on that I wish there was somebody that I could have bounced an idea off of. So I think this is invaluable. Mentorship, it builds a bond, first of all, between the mentor and the mentee. There's a measure of gratitude. I worked with someone among several that I worked with over the years as their mentor, who I was thrilled when she got a new job. And she'd been trying to make that pivot from a situation that wasn't ideal. So it was a feel good for me, but also for the mentee. It could be, having a mentor could help with so many things. It's strategies for advancement, if you'd like to be promoted and it's just not happening. You know, how do you approach your manager about that? Having a mentor to bounce ideas off about is the ideal thing. It could even be about changing your job altogether, changing your career, or managing a really, really difficult situation at work, especially in instances where there really isn't anyone there that you feel comfortable going to talk about that situation.
And Georgia, you talked so beautifully about mentorship at the beginning of this episode, but anything else just in terms of what you actually think mentorship is?
Well, I think today we really need human connection and community more than ever. And this is a really fantastic way of ensuring that there's something going on in your life that's paying attention to that need and to your professional career. I surfaced in a blog that I wrote for New York Wiki not that long ago, the fact that in a recent Gallup poll, workers worldwide were experiencing high levels of stress, and women in the US are experiencing stress at work at an even greater degree, with like 57% in the US women, working women, agreeing that they experienced stress a lot yesterday, right? Sort of the commentary in terms of how they're feeling. This is higher than our male counterparts and over 10 points higher than the global average for women. So we're living in a workforce environment that you can't deny brings high levels of stress. And I think that mentoring, like all human contact and relationships, can really act as a de-stressor. I don't know anyone that doesn't feel better after connecting with someone who's there to listen, someone who gets you, someone you can exchange ideas with, surface uncomfortable truths about how you're feeling about the work environment that you're sitting within at the moment, and then be that sounding board to offer practical advice. I mean, this is so powerful to help, I think, as Linda said in particular, keep you to your own values, keep you to your own North Star, reground you perhaps when you get shaken, de-stress. And so ultimately, I think mentorship is an incredibly important for our well-being. And I agree with Melissa, this thing did not exist when I started out in the 80s either, or the 90s, early 90s. And I don't think we can live without it now. And I think there's an expectation for it today.
Absolutely. And I think also, like, it just, with everyone being so busy all the time, I do think often having mentors, having these relationships can just like completely fall to the back burner. So to formalize it in this way, I think is so important. It kind of helps us dedicate the time. I'm wondering, because as we're talking about this, I could see listening to this and saying, oh my gosh, this is very overwhelming. Like, I do want a mentor. I want to be a mentee, but I don't have any time. That's kind of where my brain went. What resources, tools, events, like how does New York Wiki really help this relationship form and develop? What are we able to offer through the mentorship program?
Well, I will start out by saying we've been doing this for many, many years. So we know what we're doing. It is a turnkey program. We hold everybody's hand. When we kick off, we make sure that there is a, we're available. There is a Zoom meeting that brings everybody together, that illustrates the expectations, sets the groundwork, and then we're ever available. We offer tools and checklists and things that support both the mentor and the mentee in their journey. And we try to structure the timeframes of these things to be impactful, but realistic for what people can commit to. And so it's this combination of providing enough structure so people feel supported, but leaving a little bit of flexibility so that they can craft the way in which they engage the way they want to. One of the things that we're doing again this year that we did in the past that was quite successful is offer not only one-to-one mentoring, but one to two or one to a few, which can certainly ease the burden for the mentor in terms of their time frame. So they're really aggregating the conversations across multiple mentees. And we found that for some women to be a really positive way of executing. I don't know, Melissa, do you have anything more to contribute about how the program works?
Work right. And in the past, we've had regular check-ins with our mentor and mentee pairings to make sure that no one's dropped off. We don't want anyone to feel alone and out there because something has happened with the relationship. And we do provide a very in-depth orientation over Zoom as well. And in past years, pre-COVID, we had the occasional get-together of mentors and mentees, a way to meet each other in person, meet others, other mentors, other mentees, and learn from them too.
That's fabulous. It sounds like there are so many resources and it's not a heavy lift. It's kind of as much time as you have to dedicate to it is, you know, we'll make it successful, which I think is really important for people getting involved. I remember when I was a mentor, I really wanted to set my mentee up for success, and we would meet very regularly. And she was at college, actually in Ithaca. So we were on the phone. We were virtual before it was a virtual world. This is many years ago. And we would have lists and charts of her jobs. And like you said, Melissa, we're trying to help her find an internship. So I had a lot of support from New York Wiki, but I also kind of created this structure. I also love the idea of having multiple mentees because it's kind of built in networking, and it fulfills many things at once. Linda, what advice can you give to mentors who want to just be the best, most successful mentors they can be? What tips do you have? What should people be doing? What should they be thinking about? I'd love for you to speak a little more about that.
Absolutely. I think one of the most important things to keep in mind is to recognize our role is not to tell someone how to do their job, what to do with their life or their career, to make decisions or solve their problems. It's really about counsel and guidance. It's about helping the mentee think for themselves and find their path forward. I think at the same time, it's also about being willing to be vulnerable, right? someone is now coming to us as a mentor, you know, and wants to hear just all the positive and all the perfection, but be willing to share when we've had missteps, when things didn't go our way. You know, I'm someone who was downsized. I know what it's like to be willing to share sort of those issues that we've had to navigate to help kind of propel the conversation forward. So being vulnerable is important. It's also about being willing to share, you know, it could be technical skills to help a mentee forward, but it's also about how to handle a situation. Touching on what Georgia and Melissa commented on before, you know, how to navigate the politics of an organization, how to think through a sticky situation. You know, it's also about opening doors and not necessarily to a new job opportunity, but introductions to people or experiences to resources that can help, you know, that mentee, right, think differently, build a profile, you know, connect, find that human connection and expand their network and look at issues from just another perspective.
That's such fabulous advice. And I mean, I know it is the point, but to hear you say, like, it really is all about you and your experience being able to help others, maybe not all about it, but that's a big part of it. I think a lot of people think, well, what can I tell someone about their job? But just hearing you put it that way about how experiences, whether it's your own vulnerabilities and experiences in that way, or just what you have encountered asking for a raise, having a difficult boss. I mean, it's just that is really information that you can naturally share. And I think that's just really, really, really good to think about. Do you have any thoughts? And maybe the answer is no, maybe it's just different for everyone, but do you have any thoughts about the best way to communicate? I mean, I know part of it is how people like to be communicated with, right? But should it be regular meetings? Is it like maybe based on your own experience or just your thoughts, you know, knowing about this program for so long, what are some ways to set up the mentor-mentee relationship that could be really helpful and also just like feel not that overwhelming or time-consuming?
No, it's a great question. And I subscribe to Stephen Covey's principle of begin with the end in mind. So regardless if I'm working one-on-one with a mentee or I have a group of mentees and I've mentored both, I start with what does success look like at the end of our experience together? You know, what do you want to achieve? What are the issues? And then based on that, we typically will agree on what is the cadence of our meetings. And some programs require that you touch base every 2 weeks, once a month, decide on whether it would be virtual or in person, over what duration, is it 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 1 hour? And then also create, like, you know, I'm a communicator, an editorial calendar. What are the topics we want to cover and why? And then, you know, we could adjust those, but I find setting up that framework and aligning on success sets you both up for what to expect. And as the mentor, one of the things I like to bring to the table based on the topics is, you know, a few pre-reads. Is there a thought starter that we could use to talk about an issue? Is there a situation that the mentee has experienced or that, you know, would like to, you know, use to diagnose? So I think it is a combination and planning ahead really, and it helps sort of nurture the conversation, but also from time to time, I've added a friend in or an expert to say, you know what, this is such a great topic. I think so-and-so could maybe perhaps join us for a session. And that's another way of opening doors and building a network and also knowing when you may not be the perfect person to have to address a situation alone.
That's great. I really, really like the idea and have done this in the past of setting up those regular meetings, like you said, making sure that it's something that aligns with everyone's needs and schedules. But I think it really leads to maximum success, because I feel that the feedback I've heard in the past is like, when you don't have those regularly, it's really can start to slip. So setting it up from the beginning and like you said, knowing your goals, and when you get there, reevaluating, maybe this is not going to be every single week forever, but maybe for now it should be every week. So exactly. We have that time built in. I think that is really, really vital for success. And in terms of mentees, I think it is, you know, we talk about this a lot on this podcast in general. We talk about career advice, like people who want to get advice, get help, really knowing what they want, knowing what to ask for, being prepared, you know, thinking of the example of like going into an informational, asking someone for coffee, and knowing what you want to get into it. For this more formalized program, when you're looking for career mentorship, like we talked about, that could potentially lead to a specific goal or may just be ongoing. Melissa, what are your thoughts on how mentees can set them up, themselves up for success? What can they do? What can they plan? What can they think about to make sure that they're getting the most out of this valuable mentorship time?
Right. So I know we've talked a little bit about the importance of goals. And for me, that's top of the list for a mentee. Do you know what your short-term goals are, your long-term, even medium range for going into a mentor-mentee relationship? Is it concrete, a new job? Is it getting a promotion? Is it that pivot? Again, that kind of relationship at work issue that needs to be worked out. But being really, really clear for the mentee is going to help the mentor craft an agenda for the conversations. And just want to add in here, I have done mentoring both in person, by phone, and by Zoom, and all of it works. And I think the mentees should be prepared to really know what works best for them and their schedule, to be flexible on the scheduling, and to commit. If you and your mentor work out that you're going to speak every week or every other week, it's like honoring those commitments. Obviously, emergencies come up at work or at home all the time. And of course, you'll need to reschedule, but reschedule with as much notice as possible and just try to keep those commitments. It really helps if you can build your relationship on a regular cadence versus kind of haphazard because meetings are changed or canceled. It's also important for mentees to follow through on any assignments. And I hesitate to use the word like assignment or homework, but sometimes the mentor will ask a mentee to think about a few things for the next meeting, or if it's a job search, maybe even draft thoughts on a cover letter, or think of five organizations you'd like to reach out to for networking or job search. That would then form the agenda for an upcoming conversation. So again, cannot stress enough that following through, doing everything that the mentor recommends, and being open to it. It may be something you're like, why is she having me do that? But it's keep an open mind, because there's a reason that the mentor is asking for that based on her own experience, perhaps.
Oh yeah, I'm a mean mentor. I do assign homework. I will assign homework for those meetings. Yeah. But it's the message here that I think is so important that everyone's saying, like, it doesn't have to be hard or difficult or feel like homework, but really the best relationships, I mean, this is the same for me in networking, and this is a more formalized mentor-mentee relationship, is just being organized and being prepared and knowing what you want to get out of it, which I think sometimes that does not happen. And it does feel like, oh, what are we even talking about today? So I think this advice is so incredibly valuable as we're jumping into this program, and also just in terms of looking for mentors and mentees in general and building these vital career relationships. Mentorship is also extremely personal. And because I have you all, these amazing women here today, I wanted to share some personal stories of mentorship. I'd love for each of you to share a story of a time you were a mentor or a mentee, and really how it impacted you and impacted your career. And Georgia, I'll throw this to you first to tell us a personal story of mentorship.
Sure. Thanks, Julie. I have a wonderful mentee that came to me a few years ago, and we still have a strong and ongoing relationship. And to tell you the truth, I can't even remember how we were connected in the first place. She was a friend of a friend's daughter, and we had a conversation and we clicked. She asked me to mentor her, and I said yes. And so we talk, I would say, every couple of months, and she keeps me abreast of her young career. She's still finishing university and has had an amazing opportunity to do some incredible internships. She's out in California. And there was a particular time when she was really working it from both ends, right? You're burning the candle from both ends. You're doing schoolwork, you're doing internship work, you're trying to have a life as a young person. And she was really feeling burnt out and came to me and feeling unsure about everything in her life at that time. And we had an amazing conversation and chatted through her situation, provided some guidance and advice. We left the conversation. She was energized and felt really good. Well, the next conversation we had, the tables were turned. And it was my turn to talk about where I was in my particular feelings about where I was professionally. My energy was very low. I was suffering, as one does from time to time. And trust me, everybody, we all have it. And that's imposter syndrome, when you worry and you question and you have doubts about things, particularly as a woman, I think. Although men suffer from it too. And I think for me, there was a very, very distinct moment in our conversation where the tables were turned. And this young woman was offering me comfort, offering me advice, turning the tables on me and repeating back to me some of the things that I had said to her. And it was just a beautiful full circle moment. And one of those that sticks with you when you really recognize that you can help each other. And I think that's what I love about it. And so that was just a very particular moment in time that happened, you know, not so very long ago.
I love it. That's beautiful. And I think vulnerability, again, like thinking of it as a relationship versus the information flow goes top to bottom, knowing that it can go full circle, I think is really a great thing to jump into this type of program or relationship with. Linda, can you share a story about mentoring?
Absolutely. And this dates back to when actually I was in college, and my maternal grandmother was a huge influence on my life, and I always went to her for advice and guidance. And I wanted to study geology. And when I went to apply to the department head, he told me no, because I was Italian, Catholic, and fat. And all I would do when I graduated college was get married, have babies, make meatballs, and get even fatter. And I was dumbfounded. I didn't know what to say. I did not cry, but I did go talk to my grandmother, and she was like, you could do whatever you want. Did you tell him you have a 4.0 average? I bet they're not as smart as you. And I did some research and I realized that his department average was like a C minus. So I went back and said, I have a 4.0. And if I join your department, I will bring you up to at least a C. And he said, he finally relented, said I could join, but he would not pay me any attention. But she taught me and reinforced that I could let someone put me in a box because I was too fat or too short or too of this and not enough of that, or I could just make my own rules and have the confidence. And I think that's what really, as I reflect on that, that lesson taught me a lot, and it became part of my filter and why I was so passionate about mentoring and being sure that other people, and particularly women, were not put in similar boxes because of their weight, their height, their family history, situation, level of education. So that was one of my, I think, early lessons that I've tried to pay it forward with others in my career.
And obviously the audience can't see our faces, but they were not happy. We were not pleased with the reaction of that professor at all.
The funny thing is about 15 years ago, I saw him at a reunion. And he said to me, "I see you're still fat." And I said to him, "And I see you're still a something, but I won't repeat that for the purpose of this conversation," and walked away with the biggest smile on my face. And I said it loud enough that other people asked me, "Why did you say that?" And I told the story publicly for the first time then, and I have owned it ever since.
Well, thank you for sharing it here. I do think it's so important to share those stories. And I think, and you could have, and so many of us could internalize that and feel very shameful. And instead to turn it into an empowering moment is so great. Exactly. And another thing about your story that I just love thinking, we're talking today about a formal mentorship program, but to think about your grandmother as someone who may be a mentor or may teach you the values of mentorship. I think that's a great thing to think about, and for us all to be paying attention to different relationships in our lives and how they really can either influence us or influence the way that we, treat others. It's just a beautiful story, except for that jerk.
Exactly.
Melissa, will you share a story of mentorship from your own life?
Wow, I don't think I can top that one. I've never been a mentee, other than I was very fortunate in my first years out of college that my dad actually set me up to speak with some women that he had encountered who do public affairs and communication in his field, which is engineering, not my field at all. They were in communications, and that's the closest, just those networking, informational conversations that I ever got to anything being like a mentee. But I do love being a mentor. I've probably mentored 4 or 5 women already through New York Wiki. As I mentioned, there was one woman, we worked during COVID together. It was all virtual. We did not meet until the very end. We had an outdoor dinner many, many months later. But walking her through the process of leaving the organization she was in and finding something actually also in my field, health communications, was incredibly rewarding. The other thing I love about being a mentor is learning about other people's workplaces. What is it like? I've been matched also with women who aren't necessarily in healthcare, but they're in other aspects of marketing or communications. And it's fascinating. And I see where the differences are, where the similarities are. All of us, no matter where we work, those same issues can crop up. That's why I say to anyone, you can be a mentor. You may not think you are able to, but honestly, we have it within us to be mentors, and I would highly recommend it.
Absolutely. Really, there's so much of our own experience that we can bring to it. And I love that your dad was so forward thinking. I feel like that.
He's amazing. But yeah, 1980s. I talked to, 2 or 3 women probably at that point.
Incredible. I love that. Well, thank you all for sharing your stories. I'm so excited about this mentorship program. I really love having also just a conversation about what mentoring is, because I think a lot of people perceive it in a very specific way. And even thinking about, as we discussed, a formal mentorship program feeling maybe stiff or restrictive or time consuming, and just really knowing that it's relationship building. As we all know right now, like building relationships feels almost harder than ever and more important than ever. I never thought I would think that, finding people to talk to, especially in person, would be a challenge, but in the current world it is. And so I think this timing is incredible. Before we wrap up this total conversation, I do want to talk about something else that is definitely related as we talk about women and mentorship and careers. But I'd love to ask you all a question that we ask all of our guests on this podcast. So Georgia, you have already answered this for me, so thank you. So anyone listening to this needs to go to our Changemakers episode and hear Georgia's answer, because I'm not going to make her answer it again. And I am going to make you all listen to that awesome episode, our introduction episode. for Changemakers has her answer to this question. But this, you know, in this podcast, we are talking about careers, women in communication, and really trying to have extremely candid conversations about the challenges that we face, which I think today we've hit on some of those, and that's so valuable. Thank you so much for sharing. But we also always just like to ask directly what our guests think the biggest challenges facing women in the workplace today are. So Linda, I'll go back to you. What do you think these challenges are? What are the biggest challenges facing women today?
I think there are two, and probably reflective of my current age and my previous experience that I just walked through. I think one is ageism, and I think it isn't a factor just for women who are 50 plus. I also think younger women are not taken seriously if they look youthful. So I think this aspect of gendered ageism is hitting, you know, women at all stages of their career. And despite, you know, all of the DE&I initiatives in play, it's still very much something that we have to contend with. It's just morphing and shifting as we go through our life. And the second is really fat shaming. And again, there are so many examples of body positivity, you know, happening still. As someone whose weight has fluctuated, and I'm on the lower end of my range, I am amazed at how many people will make remarks about another person's body size or shape. And then when I hold them accountable, they say, oh, you don't look like you've ever been a fat person. As if, I don't know, like we're supposed to like walk around with some sign, like invisible sign over us. And that is really upsetting to me. I will always see myself as a person of substance, as I like to say. And I think with the more widespread availability of Ozempic and other meds that are, you know, there that so many people are using to manage weight, that there's just more and more pressure that if you don't fit this ideal of what a normal weight is, that there's still a lot of discrimination in terms of opportunities, in terms of compensation and just perception. And again, this is very much shaped by my own personal career journey. So I acknowledge that.
I love you bringing both those things up. We've talked about them so rarely on this podcast. And I feel like I'm going to have another entire episode talking about those things. They're so, so, so prevalent. And it's almost like to revisit again, not to repeat myself, and you to talk about our vulnerabilities, I think because it's so deeply ingrained in so many of us, and that's such a fear of either being judged for our age, either direction, as you said, or for our weight, like we can't even bring it up. Like we can't even talk about it. I mean, is there anything, and I don't have the answer to this, so sorry to put you on the spot, but is there anything either happening or that we can be doing in the workplace as women or as allies to, you know, work on this? There's not a fix it, but work on this?
Absolutely. I mean, look, we all are participating in conversations and interactions. It's if you see it, like you have to speak up and hold people accountable in the moment. We have to think about, you know, when we are complimenting someone, are we complimenting them and always bringing appearance? You know, are we saying, oh, did you lose weight? You know, and making that. I can tell you when I was at my thinnest, and I was borderline anorexic, that's when I had the most compliments. And it was almost making me feel like I should be, even though I was so ill, you know, and not balanced. We have to really think about all of those interactions and word choices, hold other people accountable, and be sure that when we're in talent conversations, development conversations, and we hear, oh, she couldn't be interested in this, she has children, or she's this, are we saying, well, wait a minute, let's step back, you know, and think about what's triggering this. So we need to own it because we're all, you know, we're all in different levels of management. And if we all do it at every level together, I think we can affect broader change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have two small daughters, very young, and I am just obsessed with this because I'm like, okay, I feel like I was raised in this world of diet culture and all of it, and, you know, women's magazines and everything. And I'm like, I have this extremely valuable opportunity to create a generation that's not thinking like this, which feels like a lot to take on. But I think being mindful of it, like as you said, is just such a great and like easy, I use that word very loosely because it's very hard to change our behaviors, but easy place to start. And I want to continue talking about this on this podcast and just really thinking about it, because I think that those two things are things that we're not really talking about. Often when we have this question, we talk about balance, of course. We talk about, you know, pay being unfair and how to ask for a raise. But I would love to continue to explore that. Thank you so much for bringing that up. And Melissa, what additional challenges? Not that we don't have so many. I've just talked about 50. I've talked about so many. I brought them all up. Any additional challenges that we should just, you know,
sure,
bring up?
In addition to all those absolutely true challenges we just spoke about, the other ones I think come from having a hybrid workplace. And I think about that, especially in terms of the young professionals who are onboarded to their company over Zoom. I think of one of my nieces starting a new job 3 years ago, 2 years, whatever it was. It's hard. And I think for young professionals starting out where they're not in the office every day, they're not building relationships in the same way. And as women, sometimes we also feel there's that imposter syndrome we spoke about, or a fear of speaking up. And I think being on a Zoom camera for meetings and just not going into the office on a regular basis can make it challenging for women to have the confidence to shine, to be in those situations where who they are and what they can contribute really show up. I think that hybrid work eliminates a lot of that.
Absolutely. I think I mean, another topic I could just talk about for hours. I think what is the future of the office? Why are we doing this? I think where we've landed right now is in this weird space where we're like doing stuff that's old fashioned because we used to do it, or creating this like fully remote workplace that we have no idea how to do it. And I just hope that, I mean, I have a company and we're fully remote and we're very focused right now. One of our key focuses on what we call like culture is how do we navigate this? Like, people want to be remote, they join the company, but how do we give them human interaction? And everyone wants a different level of interaction, right? And how do you not just like do something to do it? Like, for example, say like, come to the office on 3 days a week, but the different departments are in at different times and no one's able to communicate. So I think this is just, I mean, it is a challenge we never could have seen coming, but a big one. And Georgia, any additional thoughts on challenges before we wrap this up? I really want to have a follow-up episode. You all may be hearing from me to talk about.
That's great. I think, you know, listening to these stories, and Linda, thank you so much for sharing that vulnerability. And you're right. The more that we are brave enough to share, the better we are making it for those around us. I think this whole conversation, I'm just so reminded of the mission of New York Women in Communications. It's so tied to it, right? Because not only are we about supporting women at every stage on their career journey, which is a very direct correlation to what we're talking about, but at a broader sense, why are we doing this? We're doing this because we want to ensure there are more diverse voices present in the world of comms and media today, so that, you know, women from all walks of life and all backgrounds are there to represent and continue to push forward against some of these stereotypes, particularly as they may relate to age or body image or sexism, and have a seat at the table. Because we're seeing it. I've seen it in, you know, the years that I've been around, that we are headed in the right direction. It may not feel that way all the time as we get bombarded, but we are, and we are making progress. So New York Wiki's mission is to continue pushing on that and embracing the complexity of who we are as women, and that we're not boiled down to how old we are, how we look, what kind of outfit we're wearing. And we're making progress, but there's still a long way to go.
What a beautiful way to end this episode. You know, my niece who's six just taught me, instead of practice makes perfect, she says practice makes progress, because you're not going to get perfect, but you're going to. And I really, just as you said that, the younger generation's going to teach us a lot, but I've really taken that so much to heart, because it is just that's the goal, right? Making progress. It's not going to be perfection. Nothing in life is. And I cannot believe how quickly this time has gone, because I have had so much fun talking to you all. And I want to thank you all so, so much for joining me today. And just as a reminder for our listeners, the New York Wiki mentorship program is going to kick off in October around National Mentoring Day, which we now know is a thing, which is October 27th. And the pairings of the mentors and the mentees will be announced around International Mentoring Day, which is January 17th. For more information on how to apply, you can visit our website, newyorkwiki.org, which is actually nywici.org, nywiki.org. Thank you all so, so much for taking the time to be here today and to share your thoughts with it. I so appreciate this conversation, and I'm very excited for this program.
You've been listening to Women Heard, presented by New York Women in Communications. I'm your host, Julie Hochkaiser-Ilkovich. Thank you to our incredible producer, Liz Roberts, and the amazing team that works on this podcast: Chelsea Orcutt, Chrisanne Grise, Mandy Carr, Alex Fetter, who wrote our original theme music, and all of the wonderful volunteers on the podcast committee. A special thank you to Donna Jean Plant and everyone at New York Wiki who supports us. For more information about New York Women in Communications, including how to join and all about upcoming events, go to nywiki.org. That's nywici.org. And please take a moment to rate and review our show wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.